Daly.
Hey.
Hey, everybody, with your turkey goulash and your turkey gumbo and your
turkey lurky goo and your turkey lurky giggle.
It's that one big piece of turkey said, by God, I'm saving that to the very end. Hi, I enjoy it. It's fantastic and everything. Welcome to an anti-Friday, but that's okay. It's a thing. You know, the holidays are approaching and whatnot. And hey, are you still in for Whamageddon? Let us know. We're the fun folks.
I'm out already.
GeekRadioDeal.com. Really?
Yes. Yesterday.
Wow. Okay. Now, someone asked this valid question on Facebook. Now, do you lose if you actually like the song and want to hear it anyway? Weird. The folks bringing it to you today. The lady's like, sure, I can put up with this for two more weeks before Christmas. That there's the Flinstress.
Oh, bitch, please.
Hi, everybody. I'm a guy trying to maintain. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Life is like a bicycle. To stay balanced, you got to keep moving forward.
That's all you can do.
Well, that was then.
What happened to you?
In 1927, the first Ford Model A automobiles are unveiled and sold at New York City's Waldorf Hotel and 35 other cities around the U.S., Canada, and Europe. The Phaeton sells for $395 US, and the Tudor sedan sells for $495.
That's like $1 million. 1942, a team led by physicist Enrico Fermi initiates the first self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction at the University of Chicago, in Chicago, as part of the Manhattan Project in Chicago.
Of course. In 1953, BBC Television introduces a new on-screen logo, which is the world's first moving logo for a television service.
1957, the first full-scale atomic electric generating station in the U.S. goes into operation in Shippingport, Pennsylvania. The plant will reach full power in 21 days, generating 60 megawatts of power for Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
They really phoned in with the name of that town. They're like, oh, it's a shipping port.
Hey, I know a name for it.
Yup, we'll just call it shipping port. 1971, Soviet Mars 3 becomes the first spacecraft to achieve a soft landing on Mars. And Mars really said, thank you.
In 1979, a daily comic strip based on the Star Trek television series is first published in the Los Angeles Times. It will run until December 3rd of 83. Still didn't get 5 years. Damn.
In 1982, Atari signs a long-term agreement with Destron to market home video game versions of Destron's arcade games.
You know, like...
And now everybody has a Destron.
In 1991, Apple Computer releases its first version of QuickTime as a multimedia add-on for system software.
In 1993, NASA launches the Space Shuttle Endeavour on a mission to repair the Hubble Space Telescope. During the course of the mission, the crew uses a notebook computer in space for the first time. It's an IBM ThinkPad 750, and it's used to observe color schematics and sketches of the telescope.
1996, NetAddress launches as a new free email address service for internet users. The service provides new users an extension of @usa.net. So if you're a patriot.
Or you just like nets. In 1997, the California Department of Fish and Game is anonymously hacked.
Ron Swanson was immediately placed on the case. 1998, at the College of William & Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, a 36-member commission on information technology publicly endorses the Virginia Internet Policy Act, a piece of proposed legislation drafted by Governor James Gilmore that would make internet spam illegal, which is why you don't get any anymore today.
Right, that worked out so well. In 99, id Software releases a first-person shooter, Quake 3 Arena, for Windows in North America.
2002, Nintendo releases The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, for the Game Boy Advance.
2003, Great Internet Mersenne Prime Search, GIMPs, confirms...
Bring out the GIMPs.
...that 22099-6011-1 is a prime number. It's got a ton of digits, and it's the largest known prime number, and the 40th known Mersenne Prime, six of which have been discovered by that GIMPs.
2004, Nintendo releases the Nintendo DS, that's dual screen, in Japan.
Nintendo is always pushing the envelope, we gotta give that to them. 2005, Paramount Pictures releases the science fiction film Aeon Flux, directed by Karen Kusama, and starring Charlize Theron, Sophie Okinoda, Martin Soska, and Johnny Lee Miller.
Same day, Universal Pictures releases the sci-fi action film Doom, directed by Andres Bartowski, starring Carl Urban, The Rock, Ben Daniels, Rosamund Pike, and Yao Chin. You remember the last 5 minutes were in first person?
Oh, yeah. And 2006, Nintendo releases the Wii video game system in Japan. You probably worked it out so that you would not have to read that story.
Yes, I did. Birthdays?
Cassie Steele is 30 from Degrassi High, Tammy on Rick and Morty, and Shark Zombie.
Eric Jungman is 38 from Varsity Blues, not another teen movie, Even Stevens, and Night Stalker. That's the newer one, of course.
Oh, Lucy Lewis, 51, Shanghai Noon, Charlie's Angels, Ballistic, X vs. Sever, Kill Bill, Kung Fu Panda, and Elementary.
Steven Bauer is 63 from Scarface, Terminal Voyage, Werewolf, The Beast Among Us, Relic Hunter, and Ray Donovan.
no longer with us, born on this day in 1924, Jonathan Frid, Barnabas Collins in Dark Shadows.
You know, the real one.
On TV tonight on CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood and Bob Hart's Abishola, a rerun of All Rise, and a new Bull.
Over on ABC, it's The Great Christmas Light Fight, and Dr. Sean Murphy sees his dying father, and the family reunion reveals unexpected results on The Good Doctor.
Uh-oh. NBC has a new live top 10 on a new The Voice and Bluff City Law.
Over on Fox, an irate shopper and a luggage handler accident on a new 911.
Snap.
Followed by Prodigal Son.
Isn't that the one where the show had a huge wave in a commercial?
Yes.
On the CW, on a new All-American. And then there's Black Lightning faces off against ASA. Tobias continues to manipulate Lynn on a new episode of Black Lightning.
Freeform, two new episodes of people having to wrap presents in different ways.
Oh, my goodness.
On
actually, I do sort of want to watch
battles.
This. Pick up some tips. AMC has Fred Claus.
A&E, Garth Brooks, The Road I'm On, Part 1.
Hmm.
Part 1, you've retired three times. Isn't
right.
This like the fifth or sixth?
Bravo has a drama-filled night out causes Riley to risk losing her job on a new Below Deck.
FX, Now You See Me. And it wasn't called Now You Don't. Come on!
Of course. FXX has a Simpsons marathon. Bart gets hit by a car the way we was. Bart's dog gets an F.
FXM, it's almost Christmas.
On Nat Geo, Japan's Death Railway on Nazi megastructure.
BBC America, Godfather, Godfather 2.
Sci-fi has London Has Fallen.
It's important to note Godfather 3 was not there. TNT, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
On True TV, Elephant in the Room on a new Impractical Jokers inside joke.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because after her bachelorette party, a dance studio instructor finds herself in danger when an exotic male dancer takes an interest in her and lets the vendetta get the better of their judgment
snap.
As he attempts to prevent her from getting married. Carissa Staples and Rachel Smith star in Psycho Stripper.
Yes.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad and Stefan defend Brady, who's facing a murder charge in a case unique to Vegas, in that gambling and prostitution were not involved in any capacity. But the case requires a slight bending of the rules by any means necessary, a tactic which Chad is pretty good at. He almost made billions using that philosophy. He knows him and Stefan can win this case, which is why he gives Stefan a high five and says he can't hardly wait for this verdict. Hashtag Chad forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed. Hi, geeks. After weeks of hearing lazy, unimaginative titles for TV movies that seem as if they forgot to replace the working title, we finally got Christmas a la Mode, which is interesting and imaginative, hiding the synopsis just enough to make it interesting, but not confusing. And I tried to follow the Phage story. I take it we all really need to avoid the practice of really broke farmers around the world who, lacking manure from farm animals they couldn't afford to feed, used night soil. Less said about that, the better. Right? He had to be there. I'm still behind on listening to you, as you can tell. I'm almost 2 weeks behind because now I'm watching the Twitch recordings of Desert Bus for Hope 2019. And I'm still on day one, just heard him discuss clam juice. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, by the time you get done with that damn bus ride, clam juice has to taste fantastic, but I wonder what they really meant. Hey, geeks, long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Hey.
So what made me finally write in? Because I can 100% confidently tell you that Chad and Abby are indeed on Masters of Horror. Your
Yay.
Description of the mind-bending episode Chocolate brought me back to 8th grade when I first saw it. While there have been quite a few stories that have tried this theme of experiencing another's being, I felt this version was quite well done, and I love the journey our main character undergoes. Well done, by the way. Trying to solve it thinking it was a traditional TV show really worked on me. I thought those others sounded familiar, but not together as a single narrative. If it wasn't for this particular episode, I might have missed it.
Nice!
Or is there a completely insane show I've never heard of that somehow manages to weave all of these threads together? Wanting to believe I'm right, that is from Sonny. Sonny, you're absolutely indeed right, and you have won. Your name came out of the hat this time, so
we'll
get it all together and make that happen. And thanks for being around, however long you be, and we can't wait for
nice
the voicemail.
Huh?
Right? If you'd like to drop us a notice, podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course you can always send a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD-CROW.
I can't think of a show that came close to weaving something like that together.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Steven.
And I'm Ron.
And we're the hosts of the Super Retro Throwback Reviews audio podcast.
If you like to hear the latest pop culture news with some smart-ass commentary as well as the latest movie reviews, then check us out.
Also, we're a multi-award nominated podcast, so we're doing something right.
God knows how that happened.
So check us out on all major podcasts and distributors, and check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on all social media platforms.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
Indeed you are. Yeah, let's start the week off right. That's all I'm saying. What folks go and see, yo?
This week's 10, last week's 9, Last Christmas made another $1.98 million. It's made like $31.66 million in the time it's been out.
Do they actually sing the song in the commercials they've been showing? Because wouldn't that take everybody out of the Whamageddon?
Yeah, no. I think it's also a cover. You have to. The original is Whamageddon. Oh,
okay, good. Because there's been 7,000 versions. This week's 9, last week's 10 is Joker, another $2 million. It's made $330 million after 9 weeks. When's the last time a film's been in the top 10 for 9 weeks?
Damn. This week's 8, last week's 5, Midway, made another $3.96 million. It's made over $50 million.
This week's 7, last week's 6, Playing with Fire, makes 4.2, made 39.2 in 4 weeks.
This week's 6, last week's 4 was 21 Bridges, made another 5.82. It's made a little over 20 million.
This week's 5 is new, Queen and Slim, making 11.7 over the weekend, but because of earliness, you get 15.8 for the overall after 1 week.
This week's 4, last week's 3, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, made another 11.8 million. I really do want to see this movie. It's made over 34 million.
This week's 3, last week's 2, Ford versus Ferrari, 13.2 million, 81 million after 3 weeks.
This week's 2, I also really want to see this movie, Knives Out, made $27 million. It's made 42 almost. And actually, Carol the Cat just recently dropped her review in the Facebook group.
And the number one movie in America continues to be Frozen 2, making another $85.2 million, $287 million.
It was really good.
And the songs could have been better.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. One of your lifelong dreams is finally becoming a reality.
They're finally making a good movie out of a Nora Roberts book?
I'm at the dream where you are an inch-tall plastic figure who can't bend their arms or legs and must interact with the world using a pair of lobster-like claw hands.
I don't remember that book at all.
Lego's new theme park opening next year in New York will make that dream a reality using motion tracking and neural network on a level that you've never seen with facial recognition that'll blow your mind for Lego.
What?
Plan your trip for July 4th at Legoland New York Resort in Goshen, New York, 60 miles northwest of New York. It'll be one of the largest Legoland themes in the world, Hotel Encounter, and the big Lego Factory Adventure Ride.
Do we have to attend the Lego OSHA meeting first?
That'd be fun. The ride will take advantage of Holovis's HoloTrack technology to turn guests into Lego's iconic minifigure toys, similar how the Haunted Mansion Fs with you when you go through.
Oh, wow.
But instead of mirrors and clever lighting, they're taking advantage of cutting-edge technology. Basically, they're deep-faking you into a Lego.
Ooh. It'll be like they made almost like a Bitmoji or an emoji or something like out of you, like sure. Based on makes one that looks like you.
Yeah,
wow.
But, and it's going to everything. The rider's hair color, glasses, jewelry, clothing, even facial expressions are detected and Lego-ized in about half
that's
a second
cool.
time.
So they can sell you what, a DLC of you for future Lego games?
See, you would think there'd be some monetizing for this experience, but as of now, while riders will be able to see their Lego minifigure selves on the big screen and control them, it'll only be there for a moment and you'll keep on going. There's no word that you'll be able to buy a minifigure version of yourself that you just scanned.
Oh, they have to afterwards. Have some super 3D printers.
I mean, the opportunity to get a Lego figure of myself would be all it would take to get me to go to New York in the sweltering heat of summer to try out the experience. So hopefully, Lego does further capitalize on the Lego Factory Adventure ride with the OSHA meeting, which is astounding, and offer even the ability to custom order a real figure based on my digital double.
Shut up and take my money!
Is all I'm saying.
Right? Well, all good things must come to an end, even good things that lost their shine and are a pale imitation of themselves.
We're not going anywhere.
Not yet, but as great as any run may be, there comes a point where it's time to pack it in and call it a day. Over the course of 31 seasons so far, The Simpsons has managed to avoid such a fate. Sure, you have plenty of fans who contend that only the first half of the season is worth watching, but the show is continuously on the air nonetheless, with no end in sight.
Especially with the mouse getting in on things now, this thing will never go away.
Right. Well, all things certainly pointed to that. Then Danny Elfman spoke saying, well, from what I've heard, it's coming to an end.
Say
Elfman
what?
Said in an interview. So that argument will also come to an end. I don't know for a fact, but I've heard that it will be in its last year.
As was foretold by the Mystic Knights of Oingo Boingo.
While this may come as a shock to many fans of the long-running animated series, isn't exactly a huge surprise. After all, Disney's been tightening the Fox belt after acquiring the studio earlier this year, sure. Cutting projects left and right and laying people off. It'll make sense for them to reevaluate what's being done on The Simpsons and ultimately make the call. Again, for everything there's a time, so if this is true, don't have a cow, man.
I hate to tell you, but the world is ending.
There will be other shows to take The Simpsons' place.
No, no, seriously. Because a technician at a pharmaceutical research company's facility in a southwestern Japanese city is receiving treatment after being infected with a deadly herpes virus from monkeys used for animal testing.
It's not us who will spank the monkey, but the monkey who will spank us.
The Kagoshima Municipal Government and the research firm Shinnopi Biomedical Laboratories Limited said the worker had been infected with a herpes B virus, which is carried by monkeys. Neither elaborated on the technician's condition.
Or why he didn't use protection?
Right? It is incredibly rare for a human to have contact with the virus. With this being the first confirmed case in this city... in Japan. With this being the first confirmed case in Japan, only about 50 infections are known to have taken place overseas.
Well, we'd know about more, but one monkey heard nothing. And another simply won't tell us.
Herpes virus B, a variant of the herpes virus, is present in a significant proportion of monkeys in the macaque family, including the rhesus macaque and the Japanese macaque. It is not airborne, but if a person is bitten by a monkey with the virus, it produces symptoms including a fever and abnormalities to their sense of touch. If the disease becomes more serious, it can affect the nervous system and have lasting damage or even result in death.
I know that somehow Tatano is behind this.
According to the city government and others, the technician was testing the safety of a drug at its developmental stage on the monkeys at the company's drug safety research laboratories when the infection occurred.
Occurred? You mean the vicious killer monkey attack?
Normally, yes. But though the technician complained of a headache and fever and then underwent a medical examination, the National Institute of Infectious Diseases concluded that the worker had indeed contracted herpes virus B. The technician also was not bitten or scratched by the animals, meaning it is very likely that they instead came into direct contact with the monkey's saliva or excrement.
Ew.
Which makes him either the sickest person on the planet or very dedicated Why the Last Man cosplayer.
Gross. Well, on a more positive note, a BC seaplane carrier is set to make history next month as it tests the world's first fully electric commercial aircraft.
Boogie woogie woogie.
Harbor Air will test the seaplane, a De Havilland Beaver retrofitted with a Magni X electric motor on Wednesday, December 11th, providing weather is good. And the company's founder and CEO will be at the stick for the historic flight.
Science demands the creator be killed by the creation.
I'll be the only one aboard it. The flight permit actually includes one test pilot, and that's it, said Greg McDougall. I'm a Tesla owner, and I was so impressed with the technology, and I kind of thought, well, you know, why can't we put this in an aircraft?
Because a car and a plane is weird, dude.
Harbor Air announced the transition to electric aircraft last spring, which will see aircraft refitted with a 750-horsepower all-electric Magni 500 propulsion system, McDougall says. Harbor Air's operations, which involve mostly short-distance flights, are ideally suited to electric power. The company says the first test flight will be about 10 minutes long, and it will focus on how the new motor works with the existing airframe, whether or not it causes it to disintegrate in midair.
Well, that's why the second test will focus on how it didn't work with the existing airframe.
Let's hope not. The company hopes the introduction of the electric technology will allow it to become more carbon neutral. It will also become significant as far as savings in terms of fuel and aircraft maintenance.
They really should invest more time and funding into Professor Brainard's research, because I really believe in that flubber.
Well, McDougall says the new motors will require an overhaul of about 10,000 hours compared to current combustion engines that need an overhaul after about 2,500 hours. We're estimating that there's probably a couple of $1 million in savings. So this is something that might actually make the air carriers go, you know, to electric air. Like I said, we're not talking about like every commercial flight, but
not yet.
Still, they hope to roll out the electric seaplanes for commercial use in about 2 years. It'd be amazing considering, you know, water and electricity, the seaplane, sure. The emergency system will be a set of balloons that everyone can rub on their hair to keep things in the air.
And now the story I'm glad is breaking just now, because you would not believe me if I tried to tell you anywhere around April. Johnny Depp is producing a musical about the life of Michael Jackson that will be told from the perspective of the late singer's famous sequined glove.
No, thank you.
Playwright Julian Nitzberg wrote For the Love of a Glove,
an
unauthorized musical fable about the life of Michael Jackson, as told by his glove, the title that never ends, which is described as a fresh, revisionist look at the strange forces that shaped Jackson and the scandals that bedeviled him.
And the glove that just wanted to be a part of the music. And the Brooke Shields that hated it.
Nitzberg says a major TV network had asked him to write a film about Michael Jackson, but it pulled after he and the network could not agree about how to cover the allegations of child abuse against the singer.
Well, the network wanted to blame Bubbles.
Nitzberg proposed a solution. He said, how's this? Everything MJ has been accused of has actually been caused by his glove, which is actually an alien from outer space and feeds on virgin boy blood. They laughed and said, can you do the normal version?
Michael's alien glove is sexist?
The playwright turned down the network's offer and decided to write the idea for the stage, hopefully including the vampire's space glove. Nitzberg began working with Depp's production company Infinitum Nihil on a biopic of the 1960s one-hit wonder Tiny Tim.
From the point of view of his ukulele.
For the Love of a Glove opens on the 25th of January at the Carl Sagan and Andoran Theater in Los Angeles. It is not for the easily offended. I mean, songs do include Even If I Fit, You Must Acquit, Michael Fits You Like a Glove, and I Was Nothing Till Michael Fingered Me. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial.
That's Billy Flynn at GeekRadioDaily.com.
Non-United States 3.0 license. You can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And
damn,
I couldn't believe that story was real. I literally checked the calendar. I'm like, wait a minute. Have I flashed forward in time? This is not possible. If you would like to share your thoughts and possibilities and stuff, drop a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or you can always give us a call up on the voicemail line of
510-GRD.
And we will see you at a time that's not this one.
Welcome to Nerd School. Nerd.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
And that's the end.
We have orders to contain this threat by any means necessary.
So let's evacuate the uninfected and blow this place to hell.
And we have orders to protect this facility.
We don't have orders to kill innocent people.
We have to stop anything from getting to the surface by any means necessary.
Found this little chicken shit hiding under a pile of dead bodies.
Am I glad to see you guys? That thing cut right through the door. I tried to use the grenade, but it came at me too fast. Followed me through the arc and started to kill everybody. It was horrible.
There's no wound on his neck. He's clean.
I say, who's clean? And who's not?
I mean, it wasn't my fault. Hey, I'm not a soldier. You shouldn't have left me there.
Sarge!
There's a storeroom to the south. It's got like 20 people holed up inside of it. We gotta do something.
Your orders were to clear that sector. Is it cleared?
No, I told them to stay put. They're okay. They're just scared shitless.
We kill them all. God sort them out.